things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Anyway, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just dandy.
Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to A Little Bit Grim.
It's what you're listening to right now. That's Taylor.
That's Jenny over there.
Hi.
Hi, we're so glad to have you.
Welcome.
Hope your Friday's going so good.
The best ever. I hope you're enjoying your drive home from work.
Or drive to work.
Or chores that you're doing.
Or your bubble bath.
Ooh. How intimate of us to all be here together.
Scooch over, make room.
I'm getting in the other side.
We can like do like the spider web with, or spider like legs.
Oh yeah, like shoop.
Yep.
Yeah, just
interlock them.
Intertwined.
We love an intimate moment. Just you and us and our 100 listeners.
If I'm going to be very honest, intimate moments make me incredibly uncomfortable. I'm not good.
I'm not good at that. Same.
I can do a half-hearted hand-holding cupped only.
Oh, okay. Word.
Just not snuggly. Sorry. But regardless, I hope you enjoy your bath. And
yeah.
The spooky tales that we're about to tell you.
I got a good one.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have a good one too. It's like a little short. Like it didn't have as much meat.
Meaty.
But it's good.
Mine is very, mine's not terribly long either. Mine's a little short.
Okay.
But it is really good historical stuff.
I have historical stuff too.
Ooh, good.
What's yours?
Do you just want me to tell you?
Yeah. Well, who's going first?
What do you want? Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I don't want to rock paper scissors.
Okay. Wait. What? Who goes first?
Whoever wins goes first.
Okay. Work. Okay.
Rock paper scissors shoot. Oh, that's me.
That is you.
I never win at these.
Okay. Jennifer Jean.
No, that's me. Okay, so mine is a place. It's a building.
Okay.
It is old.
Holy and shit.
It is within a close enough distance to us that we could take a road trip and go.
Shut up, really?
To one of their haunted tours.
Sign us up right now.
All right. January 23rd, 1903. Let me take you back.
Ooh, 1903. Okay.
1903. Pennhurst State School was commissioned as the Eastern State School for the Feeble-Minded and Epileptic, which right off the bat, how are those two things connected?
Feeble-minded and epileptic.
And epileptic. But whatever.
All right.
Throughout its long life, the facilities would eventually include more than 20 buildings in total across the rolling grounds. Despite being a home for all ages, the patients here were all referred to as the children.
Oh, that's weird.
It's super weird.
That's really uncomfortable.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and in 1972, the average age of the resident was 37. And on average, patients lived here for 21 years. So this was like long-term
care.
Yes.
Well,
not presumably care.
Long-term residency.
Long-term residency. We'll stick with that.
All right. Cool.
It's been reported that the people who were housed here suffered from seizures to schizoaffective disorders to ADHD to female hysteria, which we all know was actually just what shit-ass husbands who wanted to bang other people called their wives so they could institutionalize women who refused to conform, and then more shit-ass doctors could like masturbate and sexually assault them and call it healing.
I also hate it. Did you take your nose ring out?
No, it's right here.
Oh, okay. I just couldn't see it very well.
No, she's in here. She's covered up in foundation right now.
Okay.
She's trying to blend in.
She's blended. Sorry,
here.
I did not mean to interrupt your story. But
okay.
I was like, I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about it until
where
I
your
ask.
Nose ring went.
Yeah.
Girl, she here. The facility operated in total anonymity and seclusion. The people who are left here did not receive visitors. They didn't have friends or caretakers who were checking in on their well-being. This was a place where the state of Pennsylvania dropped off people who were hard to manage, who didn't fit into cookie cutter obligations for society and were a burden, as they were labeled.
Right.
So there was no checks and balances, and the facility did as it pleased.
Okay.
Until 1968. Which is a long time.
Yeah.
To operate in without any kind of oversight.
Right. It was like the late 60s, 70s, 80s where like all of these places finally were getting like enough attention to people be like, suspect.
Is indeed. This and there was a documentary that came out in 1968.
Oh, shit.
Called Suffer the Little Children. And the documentary, it's on YouTube. It's 50 minutes. It is a tough watch.
Okay. Did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
Oof.
It is raw. It's unsettling, and it is so very sad.
Okay.
So very sad. It opens up with this poignant statement from the talking head. With, we have come a long way in the treatment of the mentally ill. We no longer abuse, torture, or exploit them. Instead, we ship them 20 miles out of town to a state facility where they can decay from neglect.
Ooh.
That's a heavy
gulp.
Yeah. It really sets you up for like the very harrowing images that you see. Yep. The documentary did not show the faces of the children, as they were so called. And I didn't really see one like child in there.
Okay.
Instead, it shows sickly thin humans curled into balls naked on cold, bare concrete floors. It shows them strapped to beds, bound wrists, bound feet, bugs crawling all over the patients, the walls. There was one shot where they had like 8 fly strips that was covered.
It's disgusting.
It is absolutely disgusting. Adults wearing soiled diapers and mentally ill humans who were stimming by bashing their face into the wall and unsupervised. There was not any attendant like in the common rooms with like 50 of these people.
Right.
And weirdly, the documentary doesn't necessarily point the finger at the small assortment of the doctors and nurses or like spattering of support staff, despite them being the literal abusers.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, several of the little children tried to drive home that society in the state of Pennsylvania was to blame, that society for allowing family members to be placed in such institutions.
Sure.
And the state for neglecting to care for its constituents.
I get it. I mean, there is like there's a lot of people to blame here.
We can't all point one finger at one place.
Right.
But
it is a societal issue, like root cause, I think, but it's just perpetuated by people who
are sick.
Yeah.
And like without the support, even good doctors and nurses can like become unwell.
Yeah.
In this environment.
Completely desensitized to
it. Absolutely. But like, and I'll get into like the nitty gritty. The documentary also throws us some data, which we love in a paranormal, never happens.
Right.
So there were zoos across the state that spent more money than Pennhurst allocated for their patients.
Wow.
So zoos. There was a couple zoos who spent $7.15 per day per animal per care. Pennhurst spent only $5.90, but the majority of this went back into the administrative costs of the facility, i.e. back into the state's pocket, and only 75 cents per day was allowed to care per patient each day.
75 cents?
You cannot feed people on 75 cents a day.
No.
Let alone provide adequate specialized care.
You can't do laundry for 75 cents a day.
No. Absolutely not.
Oh my God.
You can't buy a piece tea for 75 cents.
No, sure can't.
Also in the documentary, an interview was conducted with one of the medical professionals on site. His name, I swear on everything, is Dr. Fear.
No.
Yes, it is. Dr. Fear. Dr. Fear.
Homie, you need to be changing your name.
So Dr. Fear, who admitted on camera to torturing and abusing patients. He detailed an instance that there was an occasion where he was so frustrated with this patient that he injected them with the most painful medication he could find that would not cause permanent damage, just to cause harm. Like, there was no need for the injection. He just wanted, he was so frustrated that he just wanted this person to suffer.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So he, I mean, he lived up to his name.
Dr. Fear. And
gross.
He was not the worst of the bunch.
Oh, Lord.
I'll tell you that. But that is a small taste of the suffering, death, and decay that lived in these walls. And yeah. Even after the documentary came out, there was real no change until the facility was permanently closed in 1987. So 20 years later.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason it closed was because one of the patients brought a lawsuit because he was of sound mind. He had like some other, besides like a mental illness that made him be under their care, and he was able to testify to over 40 serious injuries that they caused there. They said that it smelled like a doghouse, and the floors and walls are covered in feces and urine.
Oh my gosh. And,
yeah. So the judge ordered the doors to be closed.
Shuttered.
And mercifully, they were.
That's good.
Now, if you walk through these halls, you will still see the peeling paint, the bare concrete floors, discarded and outdated medical equipment, and you may even hear whispers, or the whispers may build into screams of the lost souls of the thousands of humans who died at the hands of murderers who call themselves doctor.
Wow.
It's no wonder that Pennhurst Asylum is one of the most haunted places in America. But at Pennhurst itself, while most of the grounds may only echo the memories of the horrors that happened here, there are other places where the activity is some of the most compelling evidence of the paranormal that has been found. Dun, dun, dun. So I'll go through like place by place.
All right.
And we're going to start in the tunnels.
Oh, they always have tunnels.
They always do.
Why?
Well, unbelievably, the buildings at Pennhurst are connected by underground series of tunnels leading to major parts of the ground. It's how the dead were transported off of the ground, and there were many rumors and accusations of male attendants dragging female patients down to sexually assault them in a private setting among the rats and cockroaches.
Oh, that's, skin crawl. That's disgusting.
Awful. This whole thing is all around.
Yeah.
Fucking terrible. There's a whole wide range of paranormal activity that happens down here. Most often you will hear scuffling footsteps come up behind you, cold spots, the feeling of being watched. If you are like walking briskly down a hallway, you'll feel like you brush shoulders with somebody because like it's very narrow.
Yeah.
And like two people can't pass
without touching.
Mm-hmm. It's so extreme that several of the property's now caretakers refuse to even enter, period. Period, period. They just won't go down there.
Okay. Fair.
The Mayflower Building. So Tamara Lawrence was a manager of this in 2011.
Okay.
And she spent all of her time there. She even like kind of lived in and out of the Mayflower Building. And she experienced such extreme activity that she actually wrote a whole book.
Oh.
About the four spirits that take up residence here permanently. Number one is Howie.
Howie.
He's a little boy.
Aw, cute.
Who likes to spend his afterlife playing with a small Fisher-Price airplane that was left behind when the doors were closed. And if you go on tours today, that plane is still there.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, it still sits wherever he leaves it. And it moves when, like, you leave at night and come back in the morning.
It'll be in a different spot. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. He's mostly playful and he minds his business. But he does have one pet peeve, and that is if anybody touches his plane,
does not like it,
you can expect a forceful shove later on. So
the like curiosity in me would be like, touch it.
You have to ask for permission to touch his plane.
Yeah. I would be like, touch it. Grab it. Do it.
I'm gonna take it.
Do it.
Okay, no, the second entity that lives in the Mayflower Building is the Shadow Man,
mm-hmm.
who does not officially have a name.
Okay.
But he lives in the common room and the bathrooms that are right off the common room. One couple who came through, they were like clairvoyants, and they said that his name was Fisher.
Okay.
And at Fisher is carved into one of the dormitory cells, but that part of the estate is not included on the tour.
Oh.
So, like, there's no way that they could have
known
that
like,
that was
connected
there.
Those two things.
Yes, exactly.
Weird.
So, the Shadowman has been caught multiple times by several people on camera, always lurking around corners, standing, like, if you'll walk into the bathroom. He'll be, like, standing in one of the stalls there, just, like, lurking.
No.
He is known to, like, creak open the bathroom doors. And so, like, if you go over there and, like, go to see, then he'll slam one of the stall doors shut and, like, scare you. Mm-hmm.
He just loves to give people the heebs.
The heebs. His only job is to be creepy. And I don't care for shadow people.
Yeah.
Of all the ghostly apparitions, like, those are my least fave. Number three is the little girl on the second floor.
Aww.
She's a quiet one. She wanders and keeps to herself. She doesn't make herself known on the public tours. The only people who have, like, really experienced her presence are the people who live there and work there full time. Visitors, though, when they come, leave dolls, games, and stuffed animals for her on the beds in, like, the room where she supposedly spends most of her time. And then number four, we have the nurse.
The nurse.
The nurse.
Okay.
Reported to be the spirit of one of the meanest nurses known on the ward.
What? No.
Caretakers and visitors alike have all reported what, in my humble opinion, is the scariest paranormal activity I've ever heard of.
Oh, shit.
When they are alone, or if they have, like, a little distance between them and the group, and specifically when their guard is down. So this is not when you're, like, creeping through the halls with a flashlight, like, super on edge, on nerve,
yeah,
and keeping watch. It is when you think that, like, you're safe. When it's daylight, when it's with a group, when you feel comfortable, you will feel the plunge of a needle in your arm or side. And people report that they can feel the burn of the injection going down their arm. So it's not like you feel the sensation of being stabbed. You then feel the injection, like, running through your veins.
I have full body chills.
When it happens to people, it makes them so physically ill that a lot of times they have to be carried out of the grounds and or out of the building, and it will get better, but sometimes you have to be completely off the entire Pennhurst grounds before that sensation leaves your body.
That's cruel.
Yeah.
That is mean ghosty shit right
there.
That
is mean ghosty shit. Doing what she did best in life, making people
real unhappy.
Yeah.
What?
So, BuzzFeed Unsolved, who is one of my sources, did a little paranormal investigation here. And while attempting to use dowsing rods to, like, connect with her, their audio equipment picked up a disembodied scream. And they heard an owl outside before they got in there. And so, of course, Shane, being a skeptic,
It was like, it's an owl.
So they played an actual recording of the owl that they picked up and the scream, and they both agreed, no, this was something different. And the only other, he was like, well, maybe it was some kind of other bird. He did not have an explanation.
Shane, shut up.
I know. It's a ghost, okay? It's a ghost. Later, they also picked up two whimpers a couple of minutes later. So this is still in the Mayflower building, but I'm giving it its own section.
Okay.
This is the third floor of the Mayflower.
Okay.
Although it just deserves its own little blurb. Okay. This floor served as the dormitories for the patients who lived in the Mayflower building.
Okay.
It is a absolute maze of hallways with thousands of doors that all lead into, like, teeny tiny pockets, like, rooms, like, when I say small, like, okay, 5x6 rooms. Sometimes there are larger ones, but they...
Cells with walls.
There you go. That's what it is. Cells.
Okay.
And it is huge and sprawling, and you can, like, they recommend having, like, if it's closed, you can't go up there.
Okay.
But they want somebody to be, like, on the grounds with you because you can get lost. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
So. A place I would not want to be lost.
Fuck. No.
No. It's like that movie we watched. The
yes!
Where they kept getting lost and couldn't find their way out. Yeah. What was that called?
I don't know. That was a wild ride, though.
It was. It was like a Ghost Adventures episode.
It was like found footage in a mental institution. Yeah. Or whatever the correct terms are.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Interesting. Okay. Anyway.
So, a lot of these dormitories, you can still see fingernail scratches on the walls and names carved and blood stains on the walls of God knows what.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. You have the full gambit here of paranormal activities. You have footsteps that will come running up behind you. Cold spots.
That would freak me out.
A lot of screaming. Oh, a lot of screaming. I bet. There are tons of EVPs. Whispers of, like, your name. And I think that's the scariest part. So they did an investigation with the spirit box, which, if you don't know what that is, it's like a little piece of equipment that scans through radio channels, like, super quickly. Like,
rapid.
Yeah, 0.2 seconds. So, like, you're not going to pick up any interference. And the thought is that ghosts can manipulate that frequency to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you hear a word or a phrase of words, then that's a good, and it's not a radio station because it's flipping through too quickly.
Right.
So, using the spirit box during the BuzzFeed investigation, intelligent voices can be heard repeating phrases, telling investigators their names, and answering questions.
That's so much.
It's intelligent activity here. It's not just like shuffling and moaning. You know what I mean?
Right. Chains rattling.
Yes. These are souls.
Yeah.
Trapped here. Wheelchairs roll down the hallways on their own. Stones are thrown at those who are trespassing. Doors are slammed shut. Caretakers are forbidden from entering alone or after dark.
Oof.
It's that haunted. And the dark, overwhelming sorrow and rage can creep up on you. And there have been numerous instances where the emotional impact on somebody is what gets them to run screaming out. It's not like somebody throwing rocks at you or slamming the doors. Right. That would send me running.
Absolutely.
But it is this feeling where, like, you, it's like Zach Big Bilbo lights. Baggins.
Yeah.
Where he, like, screams and, like, punches walls. Like, that happens to people here. There's so much leftover emotional
turmoil
that just affects people. So if you visit, expect to hear your name whispered into your ear or screamed down a hallway. Expect the footsteps behind you and the doors to slam. Expect to be pushed, shoved, tripped, and injected. Watch, followed, and anticipate the horrors of Penhurst to haunt you for long after you leave.
That was good.
Thanks. Spooky.
Very spooky.
That nurse has made me lose sleep.
Oh, 100%. 100,000%.
It's awful.
Why?
Yes. Icky.
So where is it?
Oh, it's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So we could definitely do it right
yeah,
up there.
It's just like a hop, skip, and the border. Hop. This is right through, right over, through. Over Ohio, right into Pennsylvania.
Just to grandmother's house we go.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Good job. That was good.
Thank you.
All right. So my sources are also a BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Ooh.
AmysCrypt.com and then ghostclub.org.uk.
Okay.
So I have a place set in London for us. So let me set the scene for you. It is a rainy evening in London, and you're looking for somewhere warm to sit and dry off for a little while. There's a pub across the way that looks incredibly inviting with its rounded exterior and red-trimmed windows.
Ooh.
You walk inside and are greeted by a dark wooden bar and leather bar stools. The lights give off a soft, warm glow, which is reflected off the deep burgundy-painted ceiling. It's inviting and comfortable, so you take a seat in one of the leather armchairs to have a pint and watch the rainy city bustle.
Have a wee bit of a pint, isn't it?
A bartender comes over and says, "Welcome to the Viaduct Tavern. What can I get for you?"
The Viaduct Tavern?
The Viaduct Tavern in London.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
I hadn't heard about it either, so I was really excited to do some research on it.
Okay.
So the Viaduct Tavern was opened in 1869.
That's old.
Old. And is the last remaining gen palace within the city of London.
What's a gen palace?
So they are like really opulent bars.
Oh.
And they were built for like the high brow society. So like red trimmed windows, gold and rose decor, very lush.
Cool. Like old school lush, like yeah. Edgar Allan Poe vibes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I am with you on this.
So they were supposed to be for this highbrow society, but the location of this one and the fact that they mostly did gin drinks,
mm-hmm.
Kind of brought in everybody in society, because at this point gin was actually cheaper than beer.
Oh,
so
what a world.
Yeah, so it was affordable.
Okay.
For everybody, but because of the decor and kind of this like society saying that this is where the high people go, you could be rubbing elbows with lawyers, doctors, oh. But then it was also a place for London's poor as well.
Interesting.
As well as London's criminals. And I say criminals because the viaduct is right across from the old Newgate prison, or where it once stood.
Okay.
So criminals would be let out and immediately they're like, I need a fucking drink. And so they'd go to the tavern.
Oh my God.
Everybody.
Weird location.
Went here. Okay. Yeah. The prison itself was harsh and notorious for the poor treatment of the inmates. There's also another jail nearby called the Old Giltspur Street Compter, which was a debtor's prison.
Oh!
And it was demolished in the 1850s. Some believe that the viaduct was actually built over where the area where the debtor's prison once stood, because if you go down into the cellar area of the Viaduct Tavern, there are still jail cells down there.
What?
Yeah.
Ew, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Gross, why?
Okay. Well, they just are still down there.
Okay.
If you're lucky, the staff will even let you go down and take a peek into the cells today. And it was cool because, like, I looked at, like, you know, reviews and what the tavern is like today. And they really lean into this very spooky
vibe. I love when places vibe. Do that.
I do, too. And they seem to be very friendly and like want to talk about it, and like all of the staff are very into it.
Yeah.
So if you ask, they will take you down there. It's very cool.
I love it.
So the pub landlord from the 1860s, 70s dealt with his fair share of shady people and had a token booth put in that still stands in the pub today. This is where you'd go and exchange money for coins to buy your drinks.
What?
Like, think carnival.
Okay.
Like, you got to go to the ticket booth.
Yeah, to get your tickets.
To get your tickets, and then you would take your tickets to the bar.
Why, they just don't take money?
No, because everybody was shady as shit.
Oh, I
and
see.
And so the landlord didn't trust his patrons and also didn't trust his staff.
Okay.
So he hired one woman to work this token booth.
Okay.
And it's, like, a glass enclosed, like, area, so she couldn't get robbed.
Yeah. Love this for her.
Right. So that's how they operated this business.
Okay.
Which I think is really cool. And the token booth is still there.
Cool.
So today there is a small fountain in the square in front of the tavern. However, in the 1800s, this is where public executions took place.
Oh, Jesus.
Because the front of the Viaduct Tavern is curved, so it sits on a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it like coming to a right angle,
it's curved.
Yeah. So all the windows have a view of where these public executions used to take place.
Who picked this location?
I know. For, like, this really high bar place.
This does not fit.
Well, so people would go to the tavern, and you could sit in front of these windows.
And watch the
executions. So people would, like, get together as, like, a spectator sport.
And watch people drink,
do their cigars and pipes and all that, and watch people get unalived.
That is so gross.
Yeah.
That is the grossest.
Humanity is freaking weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this whole area, like, this whole street is steeped in dark history. One of the YouTube videos that I watched talks about down the street, there was a market that was also notorious for its kind of dark history, and things that they would sell were kind of dark, like black market kind of stuff.
Oh. Like people's hands and stuff, or like drugs?
Probably more like drugs, but she did mention like sacrificial things. So like animals.
Ah, got it. Okay.
So it's no wonder that there is probably a ghost or two roaming around the Viaduct Tavern.
Sure, sure, sure.
So today, parts of the tavern aren't used. It is a really large building with 6 floors.
Wow.
Yeah. The first floor is used as a stockroom. The second floor is used for staff and is a training area. The floors above are in general state of disrepair and have no electricity. There are holes in the floorboards and the wallpaper is peeling. The stairs are narrow and littered with debris.
Hmm.
Many guests at the Viaduct have reported that they have been at the bar drinking when they turn away from their beverage, and when they've turned back to grab another swig, their drink has been moved, is gone, or is empty.
Me, as a ghost. Steal your beer.
Absolutely. See, women, we know to keep an eye on our drinks.
Yes,
so
correct.
This typically only happens to men.
You put the hand over the top of the cup.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't take your eyes off of it.
This generally only happens to men.
So men have to have their drinks messed with by ghosts in order to care.
Love that. Great.
All right. So the the upstairs area of the building is said to be particularly haunted. A landlord's daughter claimed to experience a vivid interaction with an unseen force in the 1980s. While sitting in an upstairs bedroom, she claimed to hear heavy footsteps ascend the stairs. The door to the room she was sitting in suddenly swung open. Before she could comprehend what was happening, the newspaper within her hands was snatched away and thrown to the floor.
What?
Yeah.
Ew.
The same footsteps were then heard descending back down the staircase. Although this interaction was with an unseen force, she proceeded to search the entire building for anyone who could have been present, but she found no one.
That's gross.
Yep.
Ooh.
There are other claims of poltergeist activity occurring within the upper floors.
Ooh, I love poltergeist activity.
So in the 80s, the landlord went into the cellar, and when he turned the corner, the lights went out. The door slammed shut behind him, and he heard a whisper.
No.
There's just the two of us down here now. That man had to wait until morning. It locked him in there.
What?
Yeah. He had to wait for someone else to come down.
I would have simply died.
Passed away. You would find my cold, dead corpse.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now it's just the two of us in here forever.
Yeah.
I could not. I would run out of heartbeats.
So, in 1999, two electricians were working upstairs when one claimed to feel a tap on his shoulder, and it was not the guy that he was working with.
Ooh.
A few minutes later, the two reportedly witnessed a roll of carpeting rise into the air, and when they turned to look at it, it fell.
Well, listen, those are heavy.
Those are heavy. It's a strong ghost.
That's a strong ghost. He probably had about 3 or 4 in there.
Yeah.
Golly.
So during Shane and Ryan's investigation, they used a spirit box, like what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were getting ready to go, like, it had been kind of a slow evening. They didn't get a whole lot of activity while they were there. I think it's probably because they were drunk.
Oh.
They had been drinking at the bar all day.
Oh, I love that for them.
And one of the things I read on Reddit, because I was like just looking for other people's opinions on it, they said, you know, they probably flew straight from California to London. So. Yeah. They were probably jet lagged, and then they started drinking as soon as they got there.
Yeah.
So it just wasn't a whole lot of, like...
Not going to be on your toes.
No.
Yeah.
So they were both kind of giving the ghost shit, which, you know, Ryan doesn't do that.
No.
Like, but he was, like, playing along with Shane. So they were like, all right, well, I guess we should just go. Like, there's not anything happening. But the EVP picked up the word no as soon as they said that.
No.
No.
No, you're not going to leave. Ew, I hate an argumentative, like, ghost. Boss you around ghost. Or person.
Same.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, since we're both argumentative and bossy.
It is a miracle that we get along.
We just boss each other kindly.
We do, and we don't boss each other about the same things.
No.
We don't, our control things don't align.
No.
So it fits together really
It does.
Well.
That's a good insight. We mm-hmm. don't boss each other about the same things.
Mm-mm.
I like it. All right. In February of 2008, 16 members of the Ghost Club UK.
Stop. Cute.
I want to go. And it seems like it's all women.
Oh, I love that.
There might be like one or two guys in there, but the list of the people that I saw, like I just scanned through real quick. It looked like mostly women. But they went to the viaduct to conduct an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Bowell is a member of the Ghost Club, and she said, I believe she is a medium or a clairvoyant.
Okay.
During the tour of the pub on the first floor landing, I picked up on a woman aged in her 30s. She was dressed in a black Victorian dress with a bustle and a small black bonnet on top of her head. She had unkempt straw-like blonde hair, probably tied back in a bun with lots of strands coming out. I picked up the name Kate, and the murder of a sex worker was connected to her. She was quite red-faced, like a heavy drinker.
Ooh.
So I don't know if she was the one that got murdered or if there was a murder connected to her, like she did it.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the bar, the group did a question and answer session with dowsing rods, and they believe they made contact with a man and a woman. It seemed like the man would answer questions by crossing the rods, while the woman would answer questions by making them both go to the left.
Got it.
And they believe the man was a patron while the woman was a barmaid. In this question and answer, they got the date of 1902, which was significant. And two of the group members came up with the same name for them.
Whoa.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it wasn't listed in there, like what the name was. But that's kind of spooky.
That's super spooky.
They set up a spirit board on the third floor. And I think the way that they actually did this was it was just a planchette, but I think they put something on the bottom of the planchette so that it would write.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard of that really.
That's interesting.
Instead of like pointing to letters, it would write out letters.
Wow. It's like advanced technology. Right.
They believe they made contact with a female spirit who would have been a sex worker in the 1800s. The dates that it spelled out were all 1870, 1880, and 1875.
Mm.
They believe she worked there in 1878, and she was murdered.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Lisa, the medium, also sensed a 12-year-old boy in one of the cell areas in the basement, or the cellar. She said that there was a feeling of hopelessness, and she also saw a brown figure rush past her. During another question and answer session, one of the club members asked if there were any spirits present, and all at once, the rods crossed, Lisa saw a white flash in front of her eyes, and they heard three knocks.
Whoa. Ooh, wait, they gave me the chili.
That's so many spirits all at once being like, yes!
Wow.
We're here!
That's a lot of energy.
Yeah, yeah, truly. In one experiment that the group did, they put the planchette down on paper and let it write. And it seemed to vigorously draw circles and triangles. Upon inspection, they realized it looked like a pentagram.
Ooh, nope, gotta go.
And I have a photo of this.
No!
So it'll be on the Instagram.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. It's...
Is it ooky?
It's ook.
Okay.
Big ook.
Big ooks.
So, lastly, I have a review for you.
Oh, yes. Go on.
This review says, I originally dragged my friends along to the Viaduct Tavern because I saw it featured on an episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved and heard that it was one of the most haunted spots in London. Since I was on vacation visiting friends, I felt like I had to go because I just love anything spooky and we love a good night at a pub anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Us. While I can't speak to whether or not the Viaduct is haunted, I can say it is one hell of a pub. Their gin and tonics are spectacular. They have such a good broad variety, and we weren't disappointed by a single one. Each of us had multiple. They were... Get it. They were all so fresh, and the ingredients were nothing short of ingenious. If there is a single pub I would recommend to someone visiting London, it would be this one, even though the location is a bit out of the way. The prices were moderate, and you genuinely cannot beat their drinks. But the best part of this is that the Viaduct Tavern responded. Says, Dear Nicole, it was a pleasure to be visited by yourself and your friends. We are only sorry none of our resident spirits were feeling up to spooking you on that particular evening. Perhaps on your next visit, we could show you some of the more active areas of the pub to allow you a better chance to answer the question. Are ghosts real? This would also allow you to further chance to sample our extensive gin collection. Smiley face. Thanks for your feedback, and we hope to see you again.
I love them.
I want to go so bad.
Okay. Book us a trip to London.
Here we go. The tour continues.
Yeah. We'll just hop, skip, and a jump right from Pennsylvania all the way to London.
Yeah.
And we'll make it back by the weekend.
I'm sure Pittsburgh has a flight to London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Easy.
Sure. Yeah, I believe it. We'll get it on the to-do list. As if we're not in a pandemic.
As if we have time.
Or, like, the...
Funds.
Yeah.
Basically, we are.
We'll look
at be a minute.
We'll look at their Instagram account.
Yes. And send them a message and be like, listen, we really want to come to you, but we don't have the ability. How can you help us? Can you send us drinks through the mail?
Mail me a gin and tonic.
That'd be cool.
Oh my God. I would pay. I would pay for that.
I would pay for that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Thanks for listening. Good job. That was really good.
Thank you. Do you have a bright and shiny for today?
My bright and shiny is going to be that speaking of trips, we might have to go back to Arizona.
Oh,
I think
okay.
we're going to go back to Arizona because my sibling-in-law uh-huh. is graduating. And we are so proud of them. So we might be going back to Arizona. I'm very excited about potential. We haven't booked anything yet, but.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
I like it.
Exciting stuff.
Good. My bright and shiny is this week was my 4-year wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out to dinner and Ryan took me ice skating yesterday.
Ooh, fun.
It was a blast. He got me ice skates for Christmas.
Aww.
And he went and got them sharpened for me. And I am telling you, Jenny, I bit it so hard yesterday.
You did?
So hard.
Aww.
And I haven't fallen in like a while. Like, oh, like.
Is it hard on the body?
Oh my God. I am. Elderly.
We ain't young like we used to be,
no.
Miss Ma'am.
No. And so I was doing a spin and the skates that you normally like rent, they don't have like the toe stops.
Mm-hmm.
Mine do.
Yeah.
And I think I pitched forward too far.
Yeah.
And
you picked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fell straight on my ass, bruised the shit out of my tailbone.
Ah!
Like, also landed on my hand. So, like, my hand hurts today. The whole body is, like, ma'am.
It's understandable why, like, people get very nervous when elderly people, like, live alone.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, one good fall and I could be out for a couple days.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking, my mom had a really bad back. So did my dad. But my mm-hmm. mom had to have, like, she was on pain meds for her back a lot. My dad mm-hmm. had to have back surgery. And I was like, man, I wonder when those started for them.
Probably about now. Probably about now.
I was like, oh my God, am I going to be the girl that's like, oh no, I can't go ice skating because my back?
Yes. Yes, you are. Because I have to do shit like that for my fucking ankle. Yes.
It's rude.
We have to be mindful. We don't have the freedom to just do the activities we want to do anymore. We can never go skydiving, Taylor.
What? What? Why?
Can you... You know how hard you hit the fucking ground?
Yeah. No. Oh, no. Dang it.
Yeah. No.
That was always something I wanted to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Allie goes skydiving?
Yeah. When she was a babe child.
How about
this?
Like when we go 40, when we turn 40,
we'll go
skydiving.
And I hope it's our last hurrah.
Yeah.
Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can call it quits at 40. Give me another decade. Get some shit done and then I'll be ready.
Okay. Wow. Well, thanks for that knowledge.
What's your brain shiny?
My brain shiny was ice skating.
Do you want to pick a new one?
No, it was fun. It was still a good time.
Okay.
Oh, and we got we went to Hoppy Gnome afterward.
Ooh, I love that place.
Yeah. So we just went for like a drink and then dessert because we had already gone out to dinner the night before and we got s'mores. Have you ever had their s'mores dessert?
At the Hoppy? No.
Yeah.
No. I really don't order desserts at restaurants.
Okay. So I only do it on like special occasions.
Sure.
But I love a dining experience.
Mm-hmm.
So they come with, they're homemade marshmallows.
Cute.
And they bring you like a little cauldron. Out with a fire.
Oh!
And you roast your own marshmallows.
That is cute.
It's very cute.
I love that.
Yeah. It was so fun. It was like $8 and you get like 5 marshmallows to roast. Totally worth it.
Okay. Would that's recommend. A fun experience.
Yeah.
I would do that.
So, yeah, that's part two of my writing shadow.
Okay. There we go. Thanks for listening.
Yes. Thank you for listening. We hope that the rest of your Friday goes super smoothly. Nothing gets in your way. All obstacles are easily overcome. And don't forget to follow us on social media.
And be kind to yourself.
And to others.
Goodbye.